please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We have a new best friend this morning. It's Judge Rex Marvel. What a great last name. He is our district court family judge for Mecklenburg County. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Because I want to know, how are court cases being handled during COVID-19?
We have been working and we have not stopped working, even with the limitations that we've had.
When did yours begin? It's a blur for me in broadcasting when it began. I think it was the middle of March when our, you know, quarantine, stay at home, work from home situation started.
But yeah, back in the middle of March, we were reduced to hearing only emergency cases or constitutionally essential cases. So obviously a lot of that ended up being domestic violence, issues of domestic violence, which was a big concern at the very beginning.
Right. So family court, explain that to us. Family court means only child custody. Family court means divorce. What does that mean?
Definitely child custody, definitely divorce, child support, something called equitable distribution, which is like trying to determine how to split up the house after a couple's divorced. And then also that encompasses domestic violence.
Those limited hearings, I know it's constitutional. You always, no matter what, even if we had a zombie apocalypse, we still have to have court, right?
Exactly. Exactly. When the Constitution requires someone appears in court. So for example, if someone has a bond or the police took them into custody, they have the right to appear in front of the judge. So we've been hearing those matters. That's not what I've been hearing as a family court judge, but when the Constitution applies or our state constitution applies to certain issues of domestic violence or domestic violence protective orders or emergency custody. So if someone alleges that the other parent is putting the child in danger.
You've heard it because you work in the business, but sometimes we'll read these articles where the woman has really tried her best to do everything in the book to keep the abuser away. Sometimes he just ends up killing her.
Unfortunately, sometimes, yeah, that happens, but that's why the court system does exist. We have a lot of different tools that people have used, like the domestic violence protective orders, like the civil protective orders that they can use for the courts to try to help them. I mean, there is no way, I guess, the court can monitor everybody all the time. I can tell you that there are a lot of people in that process. There are domestic violence advocates that have still been operating throughout the shutdown. VA's office is still operating. Shelters that have been operating through the process. And obviously, as I've been stressing, the judges have been still hearing those cases every day of the week. We're still definitely hearing those constantly and trying to address that crisis.
Okay, it is a crisis. It is a crisis. So, you know, when I go to the grocery store, try to go anywhere, it's a mask, it's gloves, and it's like, oh, what do you do when you go to work?
That's one of the bigger changes that you'll see in the courthouse is the presence of masks. All the clerks wear masks. Most of the deputies are wearing masks. You know, we have hand sanitizer all over the place. I wear a mask when I'm walking in the hallways, walking on the elevator, anywhere that I might interact with people. The only time I'm not is if I'm on the bench and I'm more than 6 feet away from people, or if I'm in my office and chambers where there's, you know, the door shut. I'm doing what is the socially responsible thing to do. You know,
does Mecklenburg County supply all you guys in the courts with masks and gloves and things like that?
Some things. There's definitely hand sanitizer. There are gloves on my floor and some masks. Some of that's been done by the goodwill of my coworkers or our legal assistant. I've got to give a shout out to the Family Law Bar. So that's a collection of the family law attorneys in Mecklenburg County. They're doing a fundraising drive right now to make sure that there are masks in the courtroom, which I think is a great thing that they've been doing. And I really have to applaud the efforts of the family law attorneys that have done that. It's a great thing to make sure there will be masks for people in the courthouse.
Shout them out one more time. What's their name?
It's the Family Law Bar, the attorneys that practice family law cases, domestic cases in Mecklenburg County.
So what's going to happen if you're ordered to court and you just don't have a mask? Can you still get in the building?
Thankful for that contribution. There will be some masks available. The big thing, I know they're enforcing social distancing, the deputies are, still be allowed to come into the court building. You obviously can't, you know, walk up to everybody and touch people. That separation is created. They have, you know, questions that they'll ask if you appear to be ill. The deputies are kind of operating as the gatekeepers, as they always have been. And if you've ever been to the courthouse, you can see that. You know, they have for everyone's safety, they have the metal detectors, but now they're kind of looking and asking questions if there's some other concern.
In some situations, the gatekeepers, I guess you could call them, they're manned with thermometers. You know, let me take your temperature.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing that too?
Yeah, they're doing that to the staff. They're doing that to the staff even, you know. Deputies are temperature checking one another when they come to court, and they are temperature checking other employees just to make sure people aren't coming to court sick. And the thing I just want to stress, if you are not well, if you think you might be unwell, or if you think you might have been exposed, please contact the courts. Call the clerk of courts. You know, if you have a case coming up and you're sick, obviously we will do what we can. The courthouse will do what they can to get you another court date in an efficient way. But, you know, don't endanger yourself. Don't endanger your community. You know, no one wants this to spread any worse than it already has. So if you're sick, please do not come to court. Please notify the clerk of courts that you are not well.
Okay, got it. And we got big news. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking to Judge Rex Marvel. He is our district court family judge for Mecklenburg County. And when will you get back into full session, Judge?
Next step is coming up pretty soon on Monday, as we're hearing more cases. Again, we never truly shut down, but we're hearing a lot more cases starting on Monday. And what we are going to do is hear those non-essential, non-emergency cases. So I'm already been scheduling and letters have been going out to parties and families, letting them know that, you know, we're hearing their child support case, or we're hearing their child custody case, or their divorce. So we're hearing much more than we were able to under the prior order that was first put out back when the COVID shutdown started.
Got it. Yeah. And when you talk about child custody, that's, people are on edge. They're on pins and needles. They're on thin ice sometimes. It's like, I don't want to lose custody of my child, and et cetera, et cetera. Or I do want this divorce. So hurry up, right?
Yeah, it has been a big concern. And my heart goes out to those families in this time. You know, and I've got to applaud our state leaders and our local leaders and the orders that they put out during the shutdown. They all mentioned and stated explicitly that the child custody orders that were already in place were going to remain in place. And they allowed families to still travel despite some of the restrictions to make sure the kids are able to spend time with their parents. How important that is to mothers and fathers in Mecklenburg County.
And I want to talk about backlogs, and I want to talk about jury duty. So the backlogs, how long would you say they are? 15 pages, 10 pages?
Yeah, I don't have a number in front of me. A lot of cases we were still hearing, like those emergency matters we're still hearing. And if an attorney or a party was filed a paper motion, I was still addressing those, and I still have been addressing those. But yeah, if someone had a hearing or a trial date set, for example, in April or May, what we've done is gone back with our clerk and we're rescheduling them and we're sending those letters out. So if you had a pending case occur during the shutdown, check the mail first, you know, see if you've got your new notice in. If not, you can still call the clerk of courts. Our clerk of courts is still operating under the guidance of Elisa Chingari. A lot of great clerks and assistant clerks are working there that have been working through this scheduling crisis to make sure that people are getting their new court date.
Judge Rex Marvel, the million-dollar question is, are we still supposed to come to jury duty? Because some of us are like, I'm not going outside. Not yet.
Yeah, I get that. Right now, under the guidance of our Supreme Court Justice, Sherry Beasley, the earliest we would do jury duty is the end of July. So that's the earliest we would. So I don't have a date of when that could happen or when that's going to open up again. But it's all going to be done when it is safe, when the medical professionals tell us when that can be done safely. I do want to say something unique that I heard out of Texas, and I'm trying to follow it. A court in Texas is the first court in the nation to try a jury trial via Zoom. I can't imagine how that's going to be done, but I'm really interested in how it turns out, you know, just to have, you know, 12 people on a Zoom call with the lawyers, with the client, with the judge.
Wow.
It's pretty fascinating, but I'd like to find out how that works out. That's the big thing. I mean, we've had to change how the courthouse operates. To one, ensure access to justice, and two, make sure everyone is safe. So I am now doing hearings and scheduling hearings that are remote. As we go through this next stage in the process of the courts further opening up even more than they have been, that next stage is having remote hearings. And, you know, I know the juvenile courts have already been doing it because they have the technology and they have the programs in place, but I'm scheduling those for contempt hearings. I'm scheduling those for child custody hearings, when the attorneys or parties are able. I do know on the other end, though, and I've got to acknowledge there is a difficulty with ensuring access to justice when you're talking about technology, because one, not everybody has a computer at home or internet access at home, and two, not everyone is comfortable using new technologies. So even though that is something that we are putting in place, we still have in-person hearings if someone is unable or incapable of using a computer for the hearing. So we are trying to be flexible, but also ensuring people's safety.
And, you know, we watch these shows, these court shows, and we watch these TV shows, which is really kind of not reality, but it is reality. So, you know, if you're doing a Zoom proceeding, you know, here's a scenario for you, Judge. What if somebody gets out of hand? You can't say, bailiff, take that person out. You can't do that.
Well, I can mute them.
True story. Yes, you can. And that brings me to my next question. A lot of times as a judge, I would imagine like you're the parent in the room, right? And you're trying to discern, is this person guilty? Should this person get their child? Should, you know, you're trying to go through a lot of things. A lot of emotions go through your head, but you're having to look at people in their eye. Normally that's part of the chemistry of what you do, isn't it?
That's true. And that's why we have to be flexible with this. I mean, it's something for the safety of the community. And I would just imagine, you know, maybe in the future we'll have holograms so I can really look at someone's hologram and really know. But this is what we have right now. And this is the best we can do to keep people apart, but also make sure we're giving some resolution to family.
Here's a scenario. What if you were arrested in mid-March or before March and you were taken to jail, right? And you have to post bond. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about bond before you leave out as well, because some people just can't afford the bond. But you got bond and you're in jail and you're awaiting your court case, Judge. Are they still in there?
Yeah, before I became a judge, I worked in the public defender's office, and I worked with, all my clients. You know, they couldn't afford an attorney, so certainly they couldn't afford bond. So I, in the courtroom, had advocated on behalf of so many people that were stuck in custody just waiting for trial when things were normal. So that's definitely a concern. I can tell you, now I'm a family court judge now, so I'm not appearing in those the criminal courtrooms with the bond. I can tell you that our chief public defender, our district attorney, Mr. Merriweather, they are working with the judges that operate in the criminal courtroom to get bond set. And I've spoken to people on both sides of that, both the DA, people in the DA's office and people at the public defender's office and private attorneys about how that process is going. And certainly it's not perfect, but I can tell you that there is a lot of communication between the DA's office and those attorneys on working to address the bond. Heard complaints on all ends, but I've also heard a lot of optimism about how the process is going. I can't say that I've been there and I've seen it, so I can't give my own personal report. There are still definitely a lot of people in the jail. I'm not hiding that or minimizing that at all. I'm just saying that those powers that be, from what I know, have been communicating and working to address that issue of people in custody. And as a former public defender and as a former, public advocate for criminal justice reform, I gotta say that we always have to strive to serve our community. And we always have to strive to ensure that people have equal access to justice. My heart goes out to the family of someone that is stuck in that situation. All I can say is from what I have heard, again, this is nothing that I've seen, but what I've heard, people are working at those powers that be, the public defenders and the DAs and the judges in the criminal courtrooms are working together to address that.
Because, there's some folks out there, Judge, who just don't know about the criminal justice system, the reform that needs to happen, because it doesn't affect them. I guess it's like, when are we going to get it right? When are we going to start treating humans humanely? How about that? Does that make sense?
So, that certainly does.
I know you're not in the juvenile courts, but are you hearing that things are getting better for juveniles? Because when you're a juvenile, you do things. Some people get caught and some people don't.
The big thing that's changed, and back in 2019, we finally joined the rest of the country. You know, we were the last state in the country to raise the age to 18, which is just crazy. And again, when I was at the public defender's office, when I was an advocate, you know, I was representing kids in adult court. Mm. And that is heartbreaking, one, because the system's just not made for it. And as you said, you know, kids make mistakes. Kids, their brains are not fully developed. They're not there and ready to make adult decisions. And to hold them accountable like an adult is, as courts have determined, not me, this isn't my opinion, because I'm not supposed to give my opinion on the law, but other courts have determined that that is unjust. Finally raise the age, and obviously right now kids are being kids and they are still making mistakes, and the juvenile court judges are still operating. Again, we always need to strive to be a better community and a better society, but I can tell you that our juvenile court judges in Mecklenburg County, they are all trained and certified to be juvenile court judges. That means that they have a background in not just the way that the law operates, but also the way that minds operate, and someone that is becoming an adult, and someone that isn't quite there yet, how children think, the traumas that they've gone through in life to get them there, to have to interact with the court system. They have all committed themselves through this epidemic to make sure that they are addressing the needs of the children as well as the safety of the community.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We all take work home, and we always take home to work. So when you leave the courthouse, is it easy for judges? I know I'm asking you to speak for all judges this morning. Can you cut the switch off? Can you cut that emotion off? Is it easy? I would imagine that you guys need to talk to somebody too.
I had a lot of practice with that when I first started. You know, as I said, I was a public defender. I had a lot of practice with that. As an advocate, you would carry the weight of your client with you,
right,
and the stresses that they have. And right now, as a judge, what you do is, you know, everything that I do as a family court judge is based off what's in the best interest of the child. So you're thinking, what is best for this boy, this little boy, little girl? How can we make sure that their family that is separated or separating can still be in their life in the best way possible? You know, it's something you definitely think about a lot. I try to make sure that I have that time with my family without checking my phone or without checking my email, because certainly if you go back and you check your email, you just kind of open up the issues that you were dealing with and working with in court.
I think you're a great guy, because I met you at a nonprofit gala. You're just different. Not that I've met all the judges in the world. You know, you would think that the judge would have an air about them. Having
Thank
a last
so
name like Marvel makes you kind of cool. I don't know.
Thank you. I agree.
before you leave out, Mr. Wonderful, tell us why you chose family law.
My life growing up was directly impacted by judges. I grew up in a household that struggled with addiction. My mother struggled with an addiction to alcohol and then methamphetamine for a long time. That brought us into the criminal court, also brought us into family court because my parents were divorced. And ultimately, my mom's parental rights were terminated. Kind of having that as a kid and as a teenager, you learn how important the court system is to the community. So even though, you know, I'm, as a judge, hearing cases between, you know, a separated husband and wife, I know that the impacts go much further than that, that it's the kids, it's the grandparents, it's the uncles and aunts. You know, it impacts our community. As a domestic court judge, I'm happy to be there. The path that I've been on my entire life has led me here. This is the right place to be. Because I know how important that these courtrooms are. Definitely try to see the entire picture, not just the person that's in the courtroom at that time. It's their entire family, and it's the entire community that you're impacting.
Things have to go beyond the book knowledge. And, well, the law says this and the law says that. But, you know, to have a heart and have compassion and to have gone through some things, that's who I want to deal with.
I was just going to say, fortunately, our courts do. But, you know, they do allow for that best interest of the child. So that gives us the opportunity to really dig in deep and get to know the family, get to know the issues. So it does give us that flexibility. I'm happy to serve our community that way.
be safe and say hey to the family and good luck on all of your efforts in the community.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time to talk to you. I really enjoyed this.
Awesome. If you're just now tuning in, we've been talking to Judge Rex Marvel. He is our district court family judge for Mecklenburg County. Great news. We're going to start court on June 1st. All that in-person stuff. Don't forget your mask, gloves, and all that good stuff. And everyone be safe.
This is Natalie. I know you've been wondering who this voice is. I have a face for radio, and I'm the voice of the Francine Marie Show.
Oh, dear.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing. The Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.